Hey, this is Mike from Small Brown Bike, and you're listening to Rocket Fuel.
What's up, and welcome to Rocket Fuel, where we play punk, ska, indie, and everything else in between. My name is Jeff, and I'll be your host. Coming up on this episode, I play new music from Dead to Me, Noise by Numbers, and Torture the Artist, and review the new album Lost Art by Cloak Dagger. And later on in the show, I talk with Mike Reed from the newly reunited Small Brown Bike, and we'll announce how you can win an amazing prize pack of all things Small Brown Bike, courtesy of No Idea Records. But up first is new music from Dead to Me. The San Francisco band recently released their second full-length record on Fat Records. It's called African Elephants, and here's a track from it. This is Modern Muse.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. If you haven't done it yet, be sure to visit our great new website at rocketfuelpodcast.com. You can subscribe to the show, submit comments, and even find new contests up directly on the site. You just heard the New Jersey band Legitimate Business with SOS, which comes from their First World Problems album. You can download First World Problems for free at the band's website, legitimatebusinessrock.com. Before that, you heard the Scranton, Pennsylvania punk band Captain We're Sinking with It's a Trap, which comes from their new EP of the same name. You can also download this EP for free over at deathtofalsehoperecords.com. All sorts of free tunes out there for you. And now, punk rock headlines. Alkaline Trio have announced that their upcoming 7th album will be released as a joint venture between Epitaph Records and their own newly formed label, Heart and Skull. In an interview with Spinner, guitarist-vocalist Matt Skiba had this to say about the album's sonic direction. "This record is a rock record, but our punk rock upbringing definitely shines through, more so than our last few records. The vibe is similar to our humble beginnings. It's a step forward, but I also think it has glimmers of our past in it. We went with a less-is-more approach on this record. A lot of it is just one guitar rather than overdubs or three or four guitars. We wanted a record that could easily play live. For the most part, it's pretty bare bones while still sounding full and big. No release date or title have been announced yet. The band last released Agony and Irony in 2008, their lone album for major label Epic Records. Fast food chain Taco Bell has announced 100 bands in their 2009 Feed the Beat lineup. The plan provides free food and marketing support to touring bands. Bands apply for the spots, which are chosen by a panel of judges based on performance and musicianship, originality and material selection, and overall appeal and personality. Some notable selections include the Bouncing Souls, Broadway Calls, Less Than Jake, Cheap Girls, Fun, Red Collar, and many others. And finally, the Boston ska band Westbound Train has announced that they will be going on hiatus following two East Coast dates in December. The two remaining shows we have on the books, the Middle East downstairs in Boston on Friday, December 4th, and the Highline Ballroom in New York City on Saturday, December 5th, will be the last Westbound Train shows scheduled in the foreseeable future. Don't worry, we're not breaking up by any means, but we don't have any shows booked after December 4th and 5th, and extraordinary circumstances aside, it looks like it might stay that way for a while. Many members of the band are transitioning into different phases in their lives, personal, professional, etc., and some time off from the road will help to ensure smooth transitions for each member and for the future of the band as a whole. The band released Come and Get It earlier this year. Punk Rock Headlines are brought to you by the Tryptophan Addicts at punknews.org. For all your punk rock needs, go to punknews.org. Make sure to stay tuned and find out how you can win amazing small brown bike prizes from No Idea Records. Up next is more new music, and it comes from a band that I'm really excited about. Dan Vapid has been in a lot of my favorite bands, including Screeching Weasel, The Methadones, and The Mopes, just to name a few. Well, Dan is in a new band called Noise by Numbers, and they rule. Their debut album, Yeah Whatever, is out now on Asian Man Records. Here's a tune from it. This is Waiting for the Train.
Petrified, that old flat where train, waiting for that train. I get a sentimental feeling, even if memories lie. Somehow it feels so great, somehow it feels real inside. Waiting for, waiting for the
town.
up, I fucked it up, I fucked it up, what else is new? Get you down and I'm lonely and burned out on my yesterdays and trying to make it through today and turn it into yesterday tomorrow. I'll still be missing you.
Back here at Rocket Fuel. That was the punk rock supergroup of sorts, Houseboat, with My Life Hurts, which comes from their It's Alive Records release, The Delaware Octopus. The band features members of Off With Their Heads, Dear Landlord, The Ergs, and The Steinways. Before that was yet another supergroup of sorts, Torture the Artist. That song was called Razorblade, and comes from their Mass G or Genie produced self-titled debut. Torture the Artist features members of Screeching Weasel, Squirt Gun, and Kamen Rider. To me, the biggest challenges for a garage punk band are making sure you don't sound like every other garage punk band, and making sure that all of your songs don't sound the same. Thankfully, the Richmond, Virginia band Cloak Dagger are successful in overcoming those challenges on their second studio album, Lost Art. Lost Art, which was released on Jade Tree Records earlier this month, is a collection of audio explosions that engages you from its sonic boom start to its firestorm finish. This album is a bit smoother than their 2007 debut, We Are. Don't get me wrong, this is by no means an overly polished record. It's every bit as chaotic and fantastic as We Are, but Lost Art is a little less heavy. On Lost Art, Cloak Dagger charged through each song at a frantic pace that leaves your head spinning and wanting more. Besides showing their amazing talent to play at a lightning speed like in the songs Dead Idols and Don't Need A, Cloak Dagger proved they can also write sing-along anthems like the catchy Lower East Stata, which includes their repetitive chant 7-7 in the NYC. While I can't put my finger on just what it is that stands Cloak Dagger apart, I can tell you that amongst the speed and precision of the record, I can definitely hear a Hot Snakes influence just beneath the surface. And any band that can be influenced by Hot Snakes is a good one in my book. On the Rocket Fuel gauge for albums, a 0 being that the album is out of gas, a 5 being that the tank is half full or average, and a 10 being the record is full of gas and ready to blast off, I give Lost Art by Cloak Dagger an 8. Lost Art has all of the elements of not only a great garage punk record, but a great record. Solid musicianship top to bottom, good vocals and compelling lyrics. Get into it. Do you like what you just heard on this review, or think there's a record that I should review? Head over to rocketfuelpodcast.com and let me know about it in the contact section. From Lost Art, here is Cloak Dagger with Dead Idols. Welcome back to Rocket Fuel. From their 2003 release, The Riverbed, that was Small Brown Bike with a declaration of sorts. Don't forget that later on I'll be announcing our contest where you can enter to win awesome Small Brown Bike prizes, courtesy of No Idea Records. Before that, that was the Austin, Texas garage punk band The Hex Dispensers with I've Got My Doppelganger On. That tune appears on their latest full-length, Winchester Mystery House, which came out earlier this year. Going back to Small Brown Bike, earlier this week I had a chance to talk with Mike Reed of the band about their recent reunion, their brand new 7-inch Composite Volume 1, and what's next for the band. Here it is. All right, I'm here with Mike with Small Brown Bike. Thanks for coming on the show, Mike.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. It's good to be here.
Awesome. Now, of course, you guys made some news recently by announcing that you guys were coming back together and even releasing new music. How did that reunion take place? Like, who was the first person to make a phone call and all that kind of stuff? How did it come together?
It happened. Trav was the first one to kind of, he sent an email this summer, but it actually, I don't know, it's always kind of been, I don't know, we've maintained relationships obviously since we, you know, disbanded, and we did some reunion shows in 07, and so it's like we've always kept in touch with everybody. We still see each other a lot, and we still go to each other's band shows and stuff. So, but really, I guess it was in May, Trav and I were, and my wife Katie were driving to Chicago for our friend's wedding, and I don't know, we just kind of started talking about working on new music, and it wasn't really like formally, you know, as Small Round Bike. It was like, man, we should just start, you know, throwing some ideas at each other because we have, you know, some songs. And time went by, and then in, I think, June or July, Trav sent an email to all of us, and it just kind of said, well, let's just get together and see, you know, who cares what the name is or whatever. Let's just play music together because that's what we have always, you know, liked doing together. So, I don't know. And then it was, I think it was in July or something where we actually, like, Trav came up and him and Dan and I kind of got together and just, we had some ideas and just started like jamming for an afternoon, and things went really well, you know, it just took off, and like, and we were like, oh, that was super fun. And so, the next thing we did, we drove down to Chicago and we met with Ben and kind of just started, you know, did the same thing, just got together in a room and see what happened. And it was just kind of, just pretty obvious at that point, you know, we were like, it was a ton of fun. The music came really naturally, and everybody was like, man, this is super fun, you know? And so, and, you know, there was a moment where I was like, well, is this like a new band? Like, what are we doing, you know, or whatever? And it was just, it was the point of like, no, let's just, you know, this is Small Brown Bike. This is, you know, it's the four of us who started the band, you know, whatever, 12 years ago or something. And just call it that and move on, you know, start it up again and have some fun. So that's pretty much how it came together, I guess. The short, kind of long version, I guess.
No, that's cool. Not too long ago, a few weeks ago, you guys were down in Gainesville to perform for the Fest 8. How was it to go back down there, and how did it compare to when you guys reunited to play the Fest 6?
Well, they were both amazing. I mean, we've always, like, had a special spot in our heart for Gainesville and playing in Florida. We've got a lot of friends down there, and so, you know, anytime we went through there, we always had a blast. So, this Fest 8 was really cool because I guess it had a new kind of sense about it that we were, you know, it was like a official band again. It was less of like a reunion thing. It was like, hey, we're back or whatever, you know? And so, so just being there, I mean, the whole vibe that goes around Gainesville is just amazing, you know? So, and then getting to play new songs too, like we had, you know, we had new songs on the set list, and we were really hoping to have this new 7-inch ready in time for the Fest, but we literally weren't sure if we were going to have it in time. So, they showed up the Friday that we played the show. So it was just like, just the excitement of that was really cool, and like seeing the response of the kids who were into it and who, you know, picked up a 7-inch, and it just all was such a shock. The whole weekend was kind of surreal. So, and then we did this acoustic show on Saturday night, was kind of a surprise kind of thing at this really small venue with just, you know, like just as many people as we could fit in the room, and it was just super fun, you know, we all had a fun time and people were singing along. And so, I don't know, it was just, you know, it was just great. Just like a good vibe always in Gainesville, just people coming together, having a good time, and that made it real special this time. So, yeah, it was great, man. It was really, really fun time.
Excellent. When I was down in Gainesville for the fest and, you know, just talking to fellow festers, it seemed like Small Brown Bike was one of the few bands that seemed like everyone had to see while they were there for fest. Does it ever surprise you how, like, rabid your band's following can be?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, honestly, you know, none of us, I don't know, I guess we've always been, you know, modest guys. It's just how we were raised and how we've always treated, you know, ourselves and what we do. It's like we just do it because we love it. And the added bonus of all the friends and fans that we've met and through the years, and then just still have that today, you know, like, you know, 10 years after we started, to see people who are into it. And it, and the thing that surprised us, I think, also about the fest that we heard a lot this time was, like, with new people are like, we had never heard you guys, or I'd never checked you guys out, I'd seen your name, whatever. We had a lot of that actually happen at the fest this year, and we were just like, that's awesome, you know, it's really cool. I mean, you know, we never were like a huge, huge band in our eyes. We just were, you know, we had the fortune to, like, actually have, you know, have some good tours and have people come to our shows. So it's great, man. I mean, it's really cool that it's still kind of there, and we still get to, you know, see that now that we've kind of, we're back, you know. So it's great. And the emails, and now there's so many new channels to, you know, to talk to fans, whatever, whether it's all the internet or whatever. It's just, it's been cool. So definitely into it. And it's cool that they're reacting to the new songs too. That's always, you know, kind of the fear of a band getting back together. But so far it's been a cool response. So definitely cool.
Definitely. And, of course, as you mentioned earlier, when you guys were at the fest, kind of to the surprise of everyone, and it sounds like even you guys were able to actually sell that 7-inch the night you guys played. And I remember a whole lot of people were very surprised to hear that you guys had a 7-inch in hand to sell that very night. Of course, the name of the 7-inch is Composite Volume 1. When you guys were recording those couple tracks for the 7-inch, were there any jitters at all, or did it just kind of come naturally to come back and record new songs?
You know, I mean, there's always, I guess, a little nerves, but honestly, we were just having a ton of fun, man. It was, like, so fun to be, you know, together working on music again. And that 7-inch was recorded in Dan's basement, you know, like, he had, like, him and I had been kind of collecting mics and stuff like that through the summer, and at the same time that we wanted to demo a bunch of new songs that we were working on, we decided that we were going to go play the fest. We're like, man, you know, it would be really awesome is to have a new record out, like have a 7-inch or something. So we just really got down to it, and, you know, it was kind of coming full circle, because our first demo tape we recorded in, like, our bedrooms at our house that we rented in Lansing, you know, years ago. And so this was us just recording it ourselves in our basement, and it was awesome, man. It was like, it just had that excitement about it, that you're like, gosh, this is so fun, you know. It's like something we haven't done in so long, and it just was like, and it was great. So those songs, we took all those tracks to our friend Dave Feeney, who recorded The Riverbed and Nailed Yourself to the Ground, and he, you know, he fixed them up and cleaned them, you know, got them sounding real nice. But the whole vibe of it was just like, yeah, we're going to do this. And we just had a lot of energy at that time. And so and folks with No Idea did, like, so much work to actually, you know, get it done. And you know how crazy it is around the fest time for them. And we basically said, okay, here's the artwork, here's the titles, you know, here's the recording, like, let's do it. So I'm really happy that it all worked out. It was really cool. So to actually hold it in our hands on that Friday was like, wow, I can't believe this happened. So, yeah. But definitely happy with it.
Yeah, that's definitely awesome. I was intrigued by the title of the new 7-inch, again, called Composite Volume 1. Do you guys envision that there's going to be future volumes? Is this like a beginning of a series or anything?
Yeah, totally. That's the, you know, I guess there's been so much energy in this new, you know, the new version of the band that we've got. We're planning on doing a series of them. The next one will be out if everything goes well, we'll be out in March by the time we're going to play Harvest of Hope Fest.
Excellent.
St. Augustine in, I think it's March 13th through the 15th. So our goal is to have the second one out for that. And then the plan is ideally to have, basically they're all based on some, Dan is a graphic designer, and he did these five collages for art school. And we were sitting at Dan's house one day, and he suggested maybe using that for the artwork, and then it kind of just snowballed into, well, why don't we do 5 7-inches for this series, you know, with all based on each of these collages. So, yeah, that's the goal, is to do 5 of these in the long run, you know, and have 5 volumes in the end. So, and do them all the same way, like self-recorded, record it in our basement, mix it with Dave, and then just have this, you know, this kind of little series with the limited, you know, I think the pressing 1,100 of them. So, so I don't know. It just feels really, you know, good to do it this way, this series kind of things, kind of DIY style. So
yeah, that's awesome. It's kind of you mentioned a little bit, but it's kind of like the way you guys started out. It's like a, it's like starting again. It's definitely got that feel to it, which is awesome. I read you guys are planning to tour and enter the studio in 2010. Obviously, awesome news. You talked about Harvest of Hope in March, which is going to be great. Have you guys made any specific plans for 2010 as far as touring? Or I know obviously you're going to be recording these volumes for the composite, but are you interested in writing a new full length as well?
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think, you know, our kind of the one of the things that we've talked about coming into this new version of the band is like, we just want to do things that we've never done before, you know, try new things, play new places and stuff like that. So we don't have anything like formally planned yet for 2010, but I think, you know, I know we're definitely doing Harvest of Hope. I definitely think we're going to make it out at least to the East Coast and West Coast at least once, you know, and it, I'm not sure what scale that'll be because I'm going to be in my last semester of grad school, plus I work full time, and all of us have stuff like that going on, whether it's school or work and stuff like that. So it's hard to see us going out doing a, you know, a 6-week tour across the U.S. right now, 2010, but we want to at least get out to the coast and at least play, you know, like New York, Boston, Philly, and then play like, you know, San Diego, San Francisco, and L.A. and stuff like that. Not sure when, but we want to make it happen for sure. And then, yeah, with recording I think recording a full length is definitely, you know, something we want to do next year. Like, that's kind of the, as far as releasing music, that's our goal, you know, like the composites, I think those are going to happen just kind of naturally when we, you know, when we feel right, when they feel like, oh yeah, let's do one. And that was kind of the one to do for Harvest of Hope. It's like, yeah, let's just, that'd be a good, another time to kind of release it and just keep ourselves like writing music and stuff like that. But we've got a lot of new songs. We've got probably, I think 10 or 11 new, like, right now that we're demoing and just kind of, you know, working on right now. So there's no shortage of music right now. It's just been such a, you know, since we decided to get back together, it's been like this, just everybody's pushing forward and writing new music. So
that's awesome. Now, what kind of a direction are the new tunes going? You know, there was a little bit of a different feel to Composite Volume 1. I don't know if it's something I can put my finger on. Still great tunes, still Small Brown Bike tunes for sure. But do you see the new tunes kind of going in that direction, or is it, you know, maybe going in a different direction?
It's, you know, it's hard to say because we've always been, you know, we've always just written music that isn't, comes, that we feel, you know, that feels natural to us. So, you know, I forget sometimes about how much we changed over the years, because I don't really, you know, I don't sit around and really listen to our music too much, you know. But I think the new stuff has this element that, I think when we first started working on new songs and kind of sending ideas to each other, my brother pointed it out, where it's like, it has a little bit of the old, you know, that you would hear, but it has also has some of the later stuff that we did. And I kind of feel like that, so that's what the new stuff is doing. It's kind of combining a lot of elements that we always had, but kind of fine-tuning it, because you know, I look back at some of the older stuff that we did, and I'm like, man, that's so chaotic. You know, it's just so, like, it's so raw and chaotic, and not in a bad way, but it's just, like, it's just, you know, being a younger band kind of thing. And then sometimes I look at the later stuff, and I'm like, man, it was really, we were trying to, like, push ourselves a little bit and, you know, not overthink it, but put, you know, try some new stuff, basically, write longer songs or, you know, do different parts and stuff like that.
Right.
But I think sometimes it kind of got, we made a try too hard to do something where right now I think we're really in a good spot where things are feeling really natural and we're just letting the song be the song and just like, you know, realize, hey, it doesn't need to be, you know, 5 minutes long. Like we can make a great statement in 3 minutes, or maybe it does need to be 8 minutes long. I don't know. So it's just balancing all that stuff, but the bottom line is it's feeling really natural and it has that element of kind of the whole history that we've had writing music. It's the way I see it. So, and I just, bottom line is I think it's the best stuff we've ever written, you know, and I'm not saying it to be like, you know, oh, just wait, you know, but I really am excited about the new stuff, like playing it and practicing it. It's like, this is really exciting from my perspective. So
that's amazing. And I know there's a whole lot of folks, myself included, that are just itching to get our ears on new Small Brown Bike tunes. So that's awesome.
Awesome.
And, we look forward to
Thanks,
it for
man.
Sure. You touched on it a little bit earlier, thinking about, you know, trying to do things that you guys haven't done before as Small Brown Bike. But how do you guys try to avoid the pitfalls this time around from what caused the band to initially break up in 2003?
Yeah, good question. You know, I think a lot, we kind of fell into, you know, the breakup was kind of part of us, just a natural life progression for us, where it was like, you know, we had toured a lot and put a lot into the band and had given up a lot. And I think it was just, it happens to a lot of bands where you just want to try some other stuff. And that's what ended up happening. You know, we just said we don't want to do this full-time thing anymore and you know, just ended it and then went on and everybody, you know, kind of went their separate ways with stuff. I got married and bought a house and, you know, everybody's going to school or getting jobs and stuff like that. But music always continued. So, you know, and so now it's like being back in the band, I think it's like we know what we, you know, what we didn't like about the band basically back then. You know, we knew that it was hard to be on the road all the time. Just, you know, it was fun. Trust me, we had a great time. But I think now we're just looking at it like, look, this is a really, you know, super fun thing. We get a lot of opportunities from it and we've had a lot of fun with it. And so now we're just saying, let's hang out. Let's write songs. That's the core of it. You know, it's like, let's just hang out together and work on music and let's go do shows when we can do it. You know, let's go play Harvest of Hope or Fest or let's go out to, you know, the East Coast and play some shows and just do the things that, you know, the things we really love. And I know it's maybe, you know, it's kind of a bummer sometimes for somebody who lives in, you know, the middle of nowhere. It's like, it's just hard. Right now it's just hard for us to get out there and come play that show in right. somewhere like that. So I think we're just trying to, you know, do the things that we know, like, yeah, that's fun. We've done that before maybe and it's fun. Or like I said earlier, like trying the new stuff is really what we're really into, you know? So, I don't know. It'd be awesome. We never got a chance to go to Europe and that's definitely on the radar to do that at some point. And the same, like, just go, you know, go overseas and play shows that we've never been able to play before. I think it'd be really fun, and I hope that's going to happen at some point. So it's just with all of us having work and school and life and stuff, we've always got to kind of work around that and stuff. But, you know, we just let it kind of go forward at this point, you know, just let everything happen naturally and not get caught up in, you know, all the crazy decisions and all this stuff. And I think we'll be okay.
Good. Well, let's hope so. And sounds like you guys have the right attitude, you know, kind of as you're coming back together, which is great. I would be remiss to not ask you this question. Of course, you play in two bands that I love a lot, Small Brown Bike, as well as Abel Baker Fox. What does the reunion of Small Brown Bike mean for Abel Baker Fox?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's In my mind, and I've talked to Nathan about this, and Jeff and Ben, and it still exists. Like, Abel Baker Fox isn't going anywhere, and I think we all kind of knew going into Abel Baker Fox that it wasn't necessarily like a studio band, but it wasn't going to be like a, you know, a full-time project, and, you know, so, but it was so much fun that, you know, we definitely want to do something again, and I've talked to Nathan, and we've, at some point, once Coalesce, you know, maybe slows down a little bit, or, you know, I'm not working on Small Brown Bike music, we're going to do something, and I'm not sure exactly what that is, maybe an EP or a 7-inch or something, because it was such a fun project doing that record with those guys, and having it just turn out the way it did. We all were really like, wow, it was just fun. So it's definitely not over, and once, at some point down the road, there'll be something else with Abel Baker Fox on it, I'm sure.
Excellent. To be continued. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of one more question here, kind of getting towards the end of the year where people start thinking about, you know, what their best or what their favorite records are for 2009. I thought I'd ask what some of yours might be.
Whew. I've got that question. I always get confused when records come out too, because sometimes I'm a little late on stuff. I definitely, lately, last day has been Them Crooked Vultures. That record is just completely insane. It's great. I mean, it's an amazing record. I've listened to it, I don't know, 3-4 times in the last day or so, and it's just a wild ride. It's an amazing record. So, the new Coalesce, I think, is incredible. Like, both the Ox and Ox EP are just insane. I think those guys are like, I don't know, just mad scientists with music, and seeing them play live and just listening to their records is wild, and I love them. They're great guys too. So Mike Hale's record, Lives Like Mine, is that thing has been listened to tens and tens of, I don't know, a lot for me. So I think it's a great record, and yeah, that's definitely up there. So I don't know, I could go on. Bowerbirds, Volcano Choir, a lot of kind of coast acoustic folky kind of winter stuff I've been listening to, but those are a few.
Excellent. Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was great to talk with you, and I know myself and so many folks are just so stoked that Small Brown Bike is back, and just glad to have you guys back.
Awesome. Thanks. We appreciate it. And it's good to be back. So, cool.
Thanks again to Mike for coming on to the show. From their brand new 7-inch composite volume 1, here's Small Brown Bike with When We Run. We're back at Rocket Fuel. From their album Live Hard, Die Fast, that was the Cincinnati, Ohio-based band Lost Hands Found Fingers with Stay Sharp. And now it's the time you've been waiting for. To celebrate Small Brown Bike's reunion and Mike's coming onto the show, the great people over at No Idea Records have offered up an amazing prize pack of Small Brown Bike merch. Here's what's up for grabs. A copy of their new 7-inch Composite Volume 1 on vinyl. There are only 1,100 of these that were printed, so getting your hands on one would be rad. The 7-inch also comes with a download card, so those of you that are vinyl-y challenged can still hear the songs too. A copy of their Nail Yourself to the Ground EP, and copies of their full-lengths The Riverbed, Dead Reckoning, and Our Own Wars. All of those copies you can choose in either CD or LP formats. Also, a great Small Brown Bike t-shirt. Here's what you have to do to enter the contest. I'm going to test if you were paying attention. Earlier in the episode, I mentioned a few bands that had won the Feed the Beat contest from Taco Bell. Which one of those bands is from the same state as Small Brown Bike? To enter the contest, email me at rocketfuelpodcast@gmail.com with your answer by Sunday, November 29th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. You must be over 18 to enter, and no purchase is necessary. The winner will be chosen at random from the correct answers. Good luck. Up next is our last song for this episode, and it's a special one. On episode number 30 in September, I interviewed Jay Kuchma of the amazing band Red Collar. During that conversation, he talked about his cover of the classic Jawbreaker song Jinx Removing, and that the tune would appear on the final version of Red Collar's Pilgrim album. Well, we were lucky enough to get our hands on a copy of Jay's cover, and here it is. Enjoy it.
Don't know, nothing you don't know. first kiss. We're too smart to watch TV. We're too dumb to make believe. This is all we want from life. And I'm too dumb to talk to you. You're so quick to listen to me. I'm saying nothing you don't know. I love you more than I ever loved anyone before, or anyone to come. Someone said your name. I thought of you alone. I was just the same. 20 blocks away. And I hope you wouldn't notice. Superstitious hyper-realist, I'll make you mine. We're too smart to watch TV. We're too dumb to make believe. This is all we want from life. And I'm too dumb to talk to you. You're so quick to listen to me, saying nothing you don't know. But I want you to know, I love you more than I ever loved anyone before, or anyone to come. Someone said your name. I thought of you alone. I was just the same. 20 blocks away. I love you more than I ever loved anyone before, or anyone to come. Someone said your name. I thought of you alone. I was just the same. 20 blocks away.
That's it for this episode of Rocket Fuel. Be sure to check out our new website at rocketfuelpodcast.com and share your thoughts, questions, and best Thanksgiving stories with me in the contact section. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to enter the Small Brown Bike Contest. I'll see you next time.